Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, this is Rocky, and I want to thank you for listening to Professor Gary Lee's Parts Unknown Show on the best AM/AA Masters and Pioneers Radio Network. The best sports karate interviews, special announcements, and special surprises each week on this Tuesday night. Professor Gary Lee has a knockout punch every week for your enjoyment. Supporting the Sports Karate Museum Archives and the history in America. It ain't about how hard you get hit. It's about how hard you can get hit to keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Yo, Professor Gary Lee, great job.
This program is sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation and Elite Publications. Everyone has a story. You just have to get it out. Visit Elite Publications at www.elitepublications.org.
Shiyu, Nagata, Usati, Adashligi, Nuwati, Osta. What I said, ladies and gentlemen, was hello, everyone, of many blessings and good energy. Professor Gary Lee is at home recovering. Everything went well. I talked with him earlier. Everything went well. He was in good spirits, so he will be back with us next Tuesday. And before we get started, we'd like to take this time to also thank our producer, as always, Mr. Bowen, for allowing us to come into your homes every Tuesday night. And we hope that you get something out of us with a bunch of crazy people that professors put together. But we all love sport karate, and we love making sure that that history is kept and recorded and passed on for future generations to come. So we look forward to having a great, great show tonight. So before we go any farther, let me introduce A.J. Perry. As Professor says, the co-host, I guess when I started, took it over when Professor was had his stroke for a year. Then I brought AJ in and told Professor we should use AJ on the show, and we started doing the coward. And so that's what we started bringing Mr. Perry on. So this dude is a master Kung Fu Do stylist. You know, I remember we worked kicking drills and stuff up in Pennsylvania at the school there that's been right in front of, I think it's a sheet store now, but
that's right.
Where Master Kim was. So, hey, everybody, A.J. Perry. A.J., you there, bud?
Yes, I am. Thanks for the nice introduction, Dean.
You're welcome, man. I mean, I had to tell people back when I was younger, which I'm like 10 years younger than you or so, but, you know, we went up there. I thought A.J. was in the mafia, just to be honest with everybody, just because, you know, the way he sounds. I mean, I think y'all can hear that from the way he sounds and the way he looks. So I thought he was maybe in the mafia because, you know, I was from down in North Carolina, so when we went up to Pittsburgh, we thought we was up in mafia territory. But anyway, that was some good times.
That was a great time.
Yep. So what we're going to do is we're going to start bringing on, I'm going to introduce to everyone the 4+1, and then we will introduce the question, but I want to introduce all the people that Professor Gary Lee has put together. So the first one, as Professor says, he could have picked anyone, and he's right, he could have picked anyone, but this lady is very special. I love to hear what she has to say every week. I know a lot of times I don't say a lot, I'm just in the background doing stuff, but I listen to everybody. PKL karate champion and kung fu instructor. She is awesome. Awesome lady, Miss Karen Slash.
Hey, I'll take
that. Do I do good?
Thank you. Yes, good.
Did I do good?
Telling people so. Yep. You brought it. So what's the question,
yep,
sir?
So the question tonight is, and everybody's had this go through, is payments for martial arts classes. What should you charge? Why should you charge it? And what instruction will they be receiving for that payment?
Wow. Well, I think what we have is priceless. And how do you put a monetary value on what we've taught. I would just like to get back what I spent. Getting to, you know,
yeah,
getting to
yeah, no
level.
Kidding. Yeah, no kidding. That'd be great, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because I don't think the scales are balanced there. But I start my students usually about $20 a class because I teach two a week, and we do it online right now. So I can't say I'm paying for the dojo or for the insurance or anything. So I keep it low, and
well,
I want people to trade.
Right, but, you know, what you're giving them is something, just like you said, that is priceless. So it don't need to go to the dojo. It needs to go to the years that you put in it. Because what a lot of people don't understand is, as soon as you start being a martial artist and you start teaching a class, you end up spending money on your students, helping them
all
buy gear and different things.
All the time. And I gladly do it because it was spent on me. I have no problem with that. And if I could teach them more, I would. I miss the hands-on. I don't like this Zoom, but it's all I have right now. So I'm grateful. You know, I'm grateful for that. It does enable me to live here every month. Being retired, it's tough. It's tough. So I look forward to the little bit I do make. But, boy, I'll tell you, I would be doing it anyway. You know, if I don't train.
Yeah, I think most of us would do it for free if we could.
Right.
Get our bills paid, yeah.
I have a couple people that I brought on because they were so good, and right now they're in a bad patch, and I just don't want them to stop training. We got, you know, at this point, I'm 71 years old. I've been doing this 63 years. My whole thing is I have to pass it on, I promise. And, you know, I have teachers up there and the other planes watching me. If I don't teach
right.
I don't feel I've done my job here. So I want to make sure that I keep doing that.
Right. So, so the second part of that question, what do you, you know, for that payment, what are you giving your students for that payment? What are you guys training on right now in the virtual or in the virtual terminals?
We're doing
not virtual terminals, but the Zoom.
We do a lot of Qigong. While I was in New Jersey last week, I got them out doing the Tai Chi again. But most of the time it's Qigong online, which, again, is another priceless gift. So I've got them learning sets, some of the old ancient sets and some of the new ones that I've learned through the years. I'm trying to make sure that I have people who can teach them
and preparing them for
their schools.
You mentioned Qigong. Would you tell people at home what Qigong is? Because a lot of people may not understand what Qigong is, but it is actually a Chinese medicine martial art.
It's one-third of what they call traditional Chinese medicine, herbs, acupuncture, and Qigong. But it's also a very powerful Qi-building, energy-building series of exercises and breathing and stillness. What it gives you is an inner calmness, and it also makes your lungs stronger. It clears all your organs. It's a very detoxing thing. So if you wanted to be like the perfect martial artist, you should do the same Qigong and whatever art you're doing, because it makes you stronger, it makes you smarter.
And that is a very true statement, man. When I was training with Joe Lewis, I met a Sifu Lin from China, and he done Qigong, and Joe always with the Kung Fu would, you know, as Mr. Beasley, Mr. Smith will tell you, he would call it finger painting and make fun, but he did respect it. But,
yes, he did. I trained with him. Yeah.
But he would always pick at him. But that healing stuff, you know, he taught me, and I started doing that, and that has helped me along in the career.
It's
well, Ms. Blatcher, yes, go ahead, ma'am.
I said it is amazing healing art. I've helped everybody that I know through the hands-on healing, the energy transmission, the added idea that I can calm a baby down very easily. And I can calm an animal down just by bringing my chi into the room and directing it to them. It fits in every part of our lives, and it's part of my – it's just who I am now.
Us all feel so good on here, Ms. Slasher.
That's right. That's right.
That's why we all feel so good. Yes, sir.
Karen, you were asking about what a student gets for their tuition. The students is actually getting a piece of their instructor, getting a
Absolutely.
Piece of
oh, yeah.
himself, period.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Miss Latcher, I thank you. Yes,
okay,
go ahead, ma'am.
No,
yep, nope, I thank you for your input, and we're going to move on to, you know, I gotta announce this guy. I mean, he's a PhD, he's a Marine, he's the president of the BKF. He worked for Black Belt Magazine, and he, like I say, the professor always tells me, the co-creator of the BKF, whatever. This guy was with Joe Lewis, so that puts him, I mean, he started with Joe Lewis before me, so, you know, that puts him into the upper tiers of the pyramid of people that I respect, and he's done so much. People just don't understand what you have to go through to get all these accomplishments that he's done. But this next guy, professor calls him Uncle Jerry Smith. I hope I can call him Uncle Jerry Smith. But, Mr. Smith, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I am. And thanks for that beautiful introduction.
Thank you, sir. So do you need me to repeat the question, or do you got it after the last?
I got it. I came from started out in the heart style on the Heidi Takanishiyama, and even when I studied on Okinawa, you know, there were groups. We paid almost nothing. You know, like we brought the sensei a pack of cigarettes and some whatever he liked, and gave, you know, five. And we got, just amazing, amazing training. And Joe, we went through. But here in America, when martial arts became national, it was different. It was taught almost on a health studio where a student would come in, take five, would start out with five private lessons, then be tested on the fifth lesson. And at that point, he would start to take maybe two groups or three groups, and he would come in for his private lessons. And a private lesson would be from a half an hour to an hour, because in soft style, you really have to work with the student, because every student has different, you know, in a group, you teach to the group. You're teaching a group of people, and you're trying to teach them all the same thing at the same time. And then, as you know, humans don't
learn. Mr. Smith, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I just could everyone put their, if you're not talking right now, just please put your phone on mute so we can make sure we get to hear what Mr. Smith or whoever's getting ready to speak is saying. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Very, very much. Thank you. Okay, go ahead, Mr. Smith.
Okay, there's something. I come from. I retired from a career in education as well, and I didn't really learn how to teach until I learned that there's something called learning styles, and that's what God gives you when you start. Some people learn by visual. Some people learn by taking their notes. Some people learn by just, you know, just different learning styles, especially in the martial arts. So when you teach a student privately, he really does get a part of you, because you're saying, look, you know, I'm good at this way, but because of your body structure and the way you are, you should, what I'm showing you, you should make yours and make adjustments. So that is basically, that's the way I taught, and I loved it. You got maybe you would come in for three privates a week, and that's kind of, and then you would get also two groups, so you got the best of both. And usually when you when it was nationalized, you would actually buy a course, whether it was orange, purple, blue, green, brown, black, whatever it was, and that worked out pretty well. But that's pretty much. I don't know how close that is to the way that you teach, but that's the way I taught in the old days.
Right.
Jerry,
I
got a question, Dean.
Yes.
Jerry.
Okay.
What year did you train with Nishiyama?
Oh my goodness, dude! Now that was, oh my God, man!
that in California?
That was before I even went in the Marine Corps. That was before Joe Lewis. I was basically about 14, 15. It was in the it was the early 60s. And
a dear friend of mine, his name is Joe Goss. He's a Tangsudo master. And he trained with Nishiyama back in the 60s, too, when he was in the Air Force. Yeah.
It was a great place to learn. I did everything backwards. I'll say this, and I'll keep it short, because I know you got a lot of people to get to. And Shotokan is so beautiful. It's long. It's sleek. It's pretty to look at. You know, it's artful. And I went to Okinawa, and I go to the birthplace of the Heart Style of the Christ before it even got to Japan. And they have a very narrow stance. It's almost like their forward stance is almost like a boxing stance. And my instructor would kept kicking my legs and pulling my legs longer and putting me, and I was like going, they don't know what they're doing. They're doing this wrong. Because I learned hard styles backward. I learned the Shotokan, which is beautiful and artful and graceful, and then going to Okinawa. But I enjoyed it all, and I love it and still do.
That's awesome. Well, we thank you very much, Mr. Smith. And as always, you guys just hang on, because there'll be more questions to come after we get done with everybody. We'll have one last headbanging session. But we'll move right on to our next person, our next guest. I don't guess really guest, our next member of the 4+1. This man is a 10th degree black belt under the gentleman that we just heard from, Mr. Smith. He is the web designer for the Sport Karate Museum, and he is also a professor himself. And I always love to hear what he has to say, because unlike the Wolverine, where it's just, you know, I'm just out here doing my stuff, and then the radio show comes up, and then, you know, professor throws a question at me, and I answer it. This guy is a professor, so his answers are always, it's like reading a book or listening to somebody read out of a book, because he has always got the research done to bag it up. Everything is in its place. Always look forward to hearing him. And that is Mr. Tom Spellman. Are you there, sir?
Yes, I am. Thank you for the introduction. But don't sell yourself short in any way. You're a fantastic practitioner and an instructor, and you carry a lot of weight with the things you say and the passion that you say.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that a lot. That means a lot coming from you guys. So our question is on teaching and payment.
Well, you know, a lot of the things that we've hit on so far are major pieces. The concept of overhead and expenses and things like that play into and force certain decisions to be made on a financial level. But if we get to maybe the individual person's need as an instructor and what their worth is, even if we take it down to the of an hourly wage, then, you know, it gives us the idea of...
Okay. Hey, could I ask y'all to please mute your phone, because we can't hear Mr. Spellman. I appreciate it. Thank you. If you're not talking right now, just please place your phone on mute.
Hey, Dean?
Thank you.
Dean?
Yes.
I think
yes.
Somebody's listening on their computer, because a computer will get feedback like that.
It could be, yep, it could very well be. Okay, sorry, Mr. Spellman.
At any rate, I've taught in many different venues. You know, originally, I went through old school group classes and things back in the 60s and going into the 70s. I was introduced to the same kind of things that Sensei Smith was, because we were in the same dojo at that time, I as a student and he as one of the experienced instructors, of using private lessons, group lessons being a model that was really, really successful for a lot of students, especially the ability to work with so many different types of students. I worked with students that were had disabilities and all kinds of other things. And each and every one of them, I could put the time in and focus in on that which they needed, which was a real blessing for them and for me as the satisfaction of a teacher. I got introduced to teaching in a college setting back in the early 70s when I inherited a class at a local college from my instructor then. I got a chance to deal with the concepts of being able to do college classes for college credit and take into consideration all the things there. And I got a wage that was modest, but it was, you know, workable from an institution. Normally it's a personal, you know, an individual that's paying you. And so you have a little bit more leeway. I lived and worked as an instructor for years down in affluent parts of Southern California. There I could, you know, practically name my price, and the affluent people that I often taught were willing to pay it because they were getting the personal attention that I could give them. I now live in Southern Oregon. It's not exactly rural, but it's definitely a different climate, a different place. But I went back after teaching to go back into actually teaching at the college, and I created a course up here in the college up here, and I retired 2 years ago from teaching that class for many years in the martial arts here. And, you know, it was really a wonderful thing that gave me a chance in the group classes in the college to be able to actually cherry pick students and teach them privately on the outside. That's where I can make, you know, a good little living on that. But here, you know, I'm happy with making maybe $50 an hour teaching or something like that with the students that I teach privately. And then group classes can be anything from, you know, that amount of money multiplied how many times they take lessons to group classes. So it really is a combination of what the needs are for the person, overhead and individual needs, and the skill that they can go ahead and use to, you know, get the wage that they deserve to be able to do the things they do. But I think we all agree that, you know, doing it for the love of what we do is the real pleasure and the joy, and the rest of the stuff is kind of like icing on the cake when it comes down to it. It's great to be able to, you know, feed your family, but it's really great to be able to get up and teach. I'm like a shark. I can't stop swimming, otherwise I die. So I can't stop teaching, otherwise I'll just be miserable. And my wife knows that, so she supports me. That's also helpful.
That's always a plus. Yeah, family backing you up on anything is always a plus. Well, very, very wise words. I'm a very wise man. That was awesome, and we thank you, Mr. Spellman. And just hang on, because we got some more stuff to do, and we got to talk about COD Wars, and we got to talk about virtual terminals. So we got a lot of stuff to cover. But I appreciate your insight very much, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You're doing a great job.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. I got big shoes to fill, and you know, I want to make sure that I do Professor right. So. Did Mr. David Chambers get on the line?
I am on the line, and I'm telling you, I'm feeling these shoes well. Wait till I give my report.
I thank you, sir. I appreciate it. It means so much coming from you. I mean, I can't say like Professor that I knew you when you were an orange belt, but I'm glad that I have got to know you over the years, and glad that I get to be on this radio show with you. So, people, this is the president of the AOK. Now, he is a Golden Greek winner. Now, a lot of people, I know Professor don't really say what that is, but that was a competition through Texas, and it was super, super hard to win because you had to win all your different divisions, your different competitions, and keep those points up. And this man has won this over five times. He's super humble. He runs competitions. I love watching your videos on Facebook, training in that church. I love that green floor. My daughter, my oldest daughter, Alex, her favorite color is green. That place looks so inviting. And just hearing your voice, you can tell your students really are getting a lot out of it and going. But this guy is a master instructor. And listen, Professor has tried to win that Golden Greek more, but he finally got one. But this guy, he bested Professor on that. And Professor, he likes to brag on that and let people know that you did that, because the professor, he records the history however it is, and that is an awesome thing that you've accomplished there, sir. So our question to you is payments and what they get.
Now, I believe first, I appreciate that introduction, because that's what I got. When I started, my instructor was Grandmaster Fred Simon, and he was one who gave me a lot. And one of the things he gave me was opportunity. So now, he wasn't really that interested in money, because he was a school teacher, so he received his income from his job. But he gave me so much. And at the time, whether it was Greek, the opportunity to win a Greek award, to show me how to do it, how to work on, I hated katas, but he gave me that opportunity to say, well, hey, this is what we can do. This is the truth. This is fighting. If you can't do kata, you can't fight. I mean, but he gave me understanding. He gave me a lot of opportunity. So then when I first started, I was paying $25 a month in karate. I think, you know, now we charge, you know, $150, $180 a month in karate. Well, I believe that the karate world is a business. So, yes, we charge what we charge. But I do have a rule. I have one rule that stands strong. I'm proud of my prices, but I would never allow a person to not be able to take class because of a price. You know, this is my price. Now, if you can't afford it, then we're going to work that out. So that's my main key.
Right.
What they're going to get from it is going to be the virtues. The virtues you can't buy at Walmart. You can't buy discipline.
That's true.
You can't buy self-assurance, you know, at Target. So the things they're going to get from it is worth it. So my logic is, what I got from it was tremendous. What we're giving from it is great. What we charge. But at the same time, I will never let a student not be able to get it because of finance.
Right, and that in itself goes back to being a good master instructor and being in the love of the arts and making sure that everyone has that opportunity to participate and learn. And that's another great gift that actually they're receiving in that. You know, and like I was telling that me and Miss Laster was talking about, you spend money on your students, but what you get back as an instructor, even unmonetary, is worth more, and that's what a lot of people don't realize, I think.
Hey, Gene, I think that was a great word, opportunity, because, you know, that covers a whole lot, opportunity. You know the kanji symbol for opportunity? It's a combination of two symbols. It's a mixture of risk and crisis. So that brings an opportunity. That's an awesome way to put it.
Love it.
Right. Well, again, you know, ladies and gentlemen, you're getting to hear from somebody that has, you know, is a champion pretty much on both sides of that coin. As an instructor, he, you know, trains world-class competitors, and as being a student and stuff before, he was a world-class competitor. So, you know, when you get to hear from people like this about things like this, it helps you up, because a lot of people don't understand, you know, what the, you know, some people that may not be into martial arts may think that you shouldn't be charging, but at least you're getting to hear from all these people. And Mr. Chambers, we thank you so much for being on here, and just make sure you stay on the line, because there'll be more to come, and we appreciate your insight and your wisdom in our topic. We thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, sir.
All right, we're going to move on to our special guest. Now, our special guest has done a lot of stuff, and he helps bring the light to a lot of people. He helps bring us into your home every Tuesday. He helps to push history and to get the word out about things that people might be teaching. So our special guest is none other than Mr. Jesse Bowen that stays super busy. Mr. Bowen, are you there, sir?
Hey, sir. How are you doing?
Doing good, sir. How are you?
Hey, better, better, and better.
That's awesome. I just come up through your neck of the woods there last weekend. I went up and the Lawrence Authors, he had his AFCA convention and had a tournament. So I come up through North Carolina, which is, you know, where I grew up there in Mount Airy, North Carolina, in the Blue Ridge Mountains. And then, you know, later on moved to Virginia right there. And he had it up at the Natural Bridge. So we was up there in God's country, up there near you guys.
Right.
Great to be back home.
Well, hey, you know, Virginia, North Carolina, you know, the mountains, you know, it's all beautiful. I'm actually in the Raleigh-Durham area, and hey, I'm in Greenville, right, where I moved to Greenville after I retired, sold my school, and retired.
Right. So then you'll know all about our question of payments for classes and how much should you charge, how much should one charge. Or, you know, and what students should expect to get out of it for the money.
Well, you know, I came up in a different time. I guess I was in that era of this new change where martial arts was actually turning the focus on martial artists becoming professional martial artists, running schools as they would run businesses. And, you know, I've been teaching ever since I was a green belt for my instructor, and he paid me $25 a week, and I taught classes every day. And as a brown belt, as a green belt, I knew as much as the brown belts because of the private time I'd had with my teacher. And so by the time I was a brown belt, I was out teaching outside programs for community programs through other programs, introducing things for kids. You know, a lot of these new programs have just started. So, you know, I'm teaching a lot of the community service type programs. So by the time I was black belt, I had about four outside programs that I taught classes pretty much every day. And they were sort of offshoots from our school. And, you know, we were paid from the, you know, from the county for being able to do that. But it was the love and the opportunity that my teacher gave me to experience teaching and giving to others. And then it was in 1979, I made black belt, and I'm a general machinist for Rockwell International. And I'm working, probably making about $7 an hour, which at that time was really pretty good money. And, you know, our Raleigh school, which was a franchise school, there were four franchise schools in North Carolina. They had an income of $10,000 in 1 month. And I'm making $7 an hour, and I go, okay. So the concept was that it wasn't about teaching for money. It was about understanding a business structure. In order to own a franchise, a Karate International franchise, my instructor had set up a business degree program. In order for you to purchase a franchise, you actually had to have an associate degree in martial arts management before you could actually open up a school. So their model wasn't about teaching martial arts. It was about bringing martial arts into a profession and into a professional level. And I opened up my school in 1980. I got my bachelor's degree in martial arts management. I opened up my school in 1980. And, you know, I don't even remember what I was charging. I don't know. I think it was $79 a month, $89 a month. But people are on contract. And I know that after 3 months of opening my school, I was able to quit my job and teach full-time. And that was, you know, almost 45 years ago that I actually did that. And I opened up three schools in Durham. And, you know, when I sold my school, the average cost was about $180 to $300 a month, you know, for classes. And what did they get? Well, the students, when they came in, number one, they came into a professional school. We, you know, my classes were not just about teaching you karate, but my classes were about life skills. I was on staff at Duke
right.
University. I started Duke's martial arts program, and I ran that for 28 years, and we produced over 32 black belts in physical education during that time. So, you know, like in my, you know, my experience of coming into the martial arts, it was always about the love of teaching, but it was about being a competitor in the martial arts and proving that your style was just as good as any other style, because American karate was that new name and nobody knew what it was, and it wasn't any good. So my mission of coming up was to prove that it's not the martial arts system or style that you train in, it's actually the martial artist. So, you know, I came up in that changing time.
I agree with you 100% right there, sir. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I just wanted to let you know I agree with you 100% right there.
Yeah, it's not the style, right. It's the martial artist. And we are representatives. And if I had to really, you know, say something as that new generation, it really, because of, I got a education in business of how to run a business, we were able to be successful. And when you can run a business and you get to the point when you're ready to retire, you can sell that business because that business has value and it has a student base that's actually there. And I sold my school, what, three years ago, and that school is still going strong. My black belts are still teaching and supporting the school. But it was all about the foundation of the business. It was the foundation of the instructional program, of how you should do and things you should not do. So that's where we look at it. But, you know, the love of the martial arts, because I have no idea where I would be in my life at this very moment if it wasn't for having a great martial arts instructor to teach me the martial arts. And as we all do, we take on the persona of that teacher. You know, Grandmaster Lewis trained out of our Raleigh school, and that's where I had the opportunity to understand how to throw a sidekick, the Joe Lewis sidekick, and all those other people that influenced you or influenced an American style of karate. But, you know, I really would say that it's about giving because you love, and if you can be able to create a value base that people would like to pay you for their services, and you can, you know, work and do what you love every day, and you can do that for the rest of your life, and you can produce, you know, 300 or 400 black belts that go on and produce other students. That's what it's just passing it on, and that's what we try to do on this show, is preserve the history and be able to pass on so that we can have longevity as martial artists.
Well, sir, we certainly appreciate your input, and you do certainly, you know, make sure that people will be able to continue longevity and pass on their knowledge, and that is a great thing, and it is a much needed thing to keep things recorded. And as always, we appreciate your elegant words and how you put it. That's why you are the editor and publisher of books, because you have that insight and you're able to teach and put things into perspective, or to put things forward so that they get grasp a better understanding of what martial arts is and what all it means to go into it. And you know, we want to thank you so much. I want to thank you personally for, you know, giving Professor Gary Lee this opportunity to have this radio show and take what he loves so dearly and put it out to the public and get it out there where everyone could hear it. And we thank you. Thank you very much for that.
I thank you guys for being a part of it. And this is what we should do it in my life. This is what I do now. My job in my life for the rest of my life is try to make the world a better place. AJ, you were going to say something? I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
That's what
you know, it's funny with what you were saying, Hanshi, is that a lot of people or school owners advertise we belong to this organization and that organization. People, when they come through your door, they're there for you. That's who they're interested in. They're not interested in some national organization. They're there for your leadership.
Yep.
And, you know, and well, one of the things I do want to say, and I'm going to let you guys, I'm going to step off because I think it's important. And this is sort of where I am right now because, you know, Mr. Perry and, you know, Dane, you know, and everybody on this program, we have value now. We've been doing it long enough. We have value. And that's the reason why that we're promoting martial artists becoming authors because it's another way for them to share their story, another way for them to identify what that value is. So if you were to think about what is my value, now we're moving beyond the kick and punch because that is the next door, the next evolution to martial arts. And a lot of that is going to be about inner art. You know, it's not going to be about necessarily the combative things, but it's a lot going to be about the inner art because this is where we really have to that we have to be able to focus on because our students today in our society is, you know, it's difficult to understand, you know, the value system because they've changed so much in that time.
Right. I agree with you 100%, sir. And I'm eventually one of these days write a book, but I'm going to say this. A lot of the board, a lot of the people, you know, in the 4+1 may agree. I'm just not done writing my story yet. I got a lot left that I want to accomplish, a lot left that I want to do, a lot that I want to try out. And then, you know, maybe I may not even get time to write a book. Somebody may have to write a book for me later. But we appreciate everything you do. And what I wanted to say to kind of the final note, as Professor does, to tie this all in is, you know, payments, a lot of people, you know, may frown on payments in the martial arts, but here's the Wolverine's perspective on payments. Now, as martial artists, they pay us to try to give them something, and what they want a lot of times is self-enhancement, self-growth. They may want to learn to be self-disciplined. They get to be self-disciplined. They gain flexibility. They gain muscular strength, cardiovascular strength, as in Ms. Slasher does, you know, even that health benefit of the Qigong. They learn how to protect themselves. They learn a skill that they can earn money. They learn something that they can take and use the rest of their life. Most all sports have a shelf life. Most things you have to do, activities have a shelf life. Martial arts you can do until your last days. They learn that they can make money by being a competitor, being a ring combatist. You know, it's a lot of different things. They may learn to save their life. They may learn a lesson to save someone else's life. But most importantly, they may learn how to be a good person and be a good person to other people. And that's what that's another something that they should learn. But here's one other thing that they should also learn. Payments should help people learn commitment. Because in martial arts, most people know, everyone that has a class knows, you have people sign up, and as soon as they hit a plateau or a hard spot, they want to quit. And, you know, we have contracts here. And people will call me and say, hey, I hadn't been coming because, you know, I've had a lot going on. I want to cancel my contract. Well, that's a contract. When you put people in a contract and you put them in that payment system, you're telling them, hey, you need to stay dedicated to what you do. And people don't understand. They take martial arts training for granted, like it's not as important as other things. And I try to tell people, look, just because you don't drive your car doesn't mean you don't have to pay your insurance. It's just
you're
the laws are set up
that
you have to pay your insurance. Thank you. So, you know, that's what people do. And then people have kids, and I try to tell parents all the time, they'll call and say, I had a parent this other day, you know, the kid's doing class. They're not, you know, you have A, B, and C students. He's more of a C student. And the parent says, well, you know that your B students get overlooked, your A students pick it up. You have to spend the most time with the C students, and then you spend your time there, and then the parents go, well, they want to take a little break. Well, see, that's where the contract comes in and holding you to commitment. Because once these parents, and it's the parents' fault, when they say to a child, okay, I'll talk to the school and we'll just quit. So they let that child quit, and quitting becomes a habit. So the contract for payment is in place for martial arts schools to also teach people a lesson on how they should conduct themselves, the student and the parent. The parent should not give the student, a child, a choice. Yes, sir, AJ, go ahead.
You're 100% correct on that. You know, it's awful funny. If you look across the board on how many martial arts schools give tuition or give lessons away, it's incredible. It's like the only industry that does that. And not only that,
right,
but there are so many martial artists out there, when they retire, they're poor. And there's no reason for that.
Yep.
You're giving a service, you should be paid for it well.
And speaking of services, that's going to move me right into COD Awards and the Living Legend Celebrity Roast. Listen, we're going to be roasting Judge Roy Kerbin. You know, he come up with the two-point kick, and, you know, it's going to be a great time out at Houston, Texas. And if you haven't got your tickets, be sure and get your tickets. You can go online and get them and get that. Look, we're going to be – there's going to be a lot of stuff going on besides, you know, giving Sylvester Stallone and a lot of these people their honorary belts and things like that. But there's going to be people that deserve belts, like Colonel Philip Torres, that will be receiving belts and things of that nature that will be going on. There is so much going on there. There will be seminars going on. A.J. Perry is giving a seminar. Professor Gary Lee's daughter is giving a seminar. And I love Robin's seminars because she's so energetic, just like Professor Ball of Energy, fun doing that. Let's see, A.J., who else is giving a seminar? Oh, man, his name is left my mind. Anyway, he's doing it on the Dirty Dozen, or the Dirty Dozen. Just left my mind. Anyway, there's
aren't
other
you doing
seminars.
A seminar,
yeah, I'm doing a seminar, too, but yeah. I was going to mention that live. But, yeah, I'm doing a Last Fence Tactical Combat. George Hartley. George.
I believe
Dr.
Lee's going to be there.
Yeah. So he's doing a seminar, and I'll be doing a seminar on Last Defense, Tactical Combatives. We'll be doing a lot of stuff at that seminar, so it's something you want to check out. We do a lot of stuff with it. We'll have a coward booth there. There'll be a lot of booths. Miss Karen Eden will be there. We will have that Friday night. We will have people doing demonstrations in honor of people that we've lost over the past year. It's been it seems like these last few years we've lost so many great martial artists that, it's just really a shame, how many great martial artists that we've lost over the last few years. So they'll be doing some stuff in honor of that. Miss Karen Eden will be doing a Cherokee blessing. I will be doing a Cherokee prayer. And then we have another gentleman that is a Cherokee chief. He will also be doing a he'll be doing his prayer in Indian dialect from his tribe, and Karen and I will be representing Cherokee Indians because we're brothers and sisters in the Cherokee tribe. So we get to go and talk to each other in Cherokee, and it's hard to do that because, as I said, there's not a lot of people that speak Cherokee. And I said that this past weekend at the seminar, and then somehow or another, some guy went around telling everybody that I said I was the last person, the last Cherokee alive or something. So, you know, but if you Google how many people can speak Cherokee language, it's very few. But you want to hear all that because it's going to be awesome. Professor Gary Lee has done a great job. Him and Tammy worked very hard all year long to get this set up. He is always on the phone, busy. I mean, he is constantly doing something, getting this set up. So it is a lot of work. So each and every one of you wants you to come out and be a part of that. There'll be a lot of people there to watch and do stuff and to meet. And it's lifelong friends and things. Mr. Bourne will be there. Well, I mean, we're just going to have a lot of different booths set up, and it's going to be awesome. NWA Films I may have not said that right, but they'll be there from England. They'll be looking at doing a movie on the History Museum and turning that into a love story for what we're doing there with the love story. Also being there will be Set VR and with Dr. Reginald Lee and their Richard Conahan with their vision of that. And, you know, that is going to be something that's going to be, you know, it's an awesome tool because they, you know, you get to work your response, your motor skills, you know, and really in virtual reality, everything is going that way. Even stuff doctors are now doing virtual surgeries. So they will have done over 1,000 virtual surgeries before they ever do a surgery. So they will know exactly what to do. And, you know, that is something that is really doing good. And they have already got this going for martial artists to take advantage of. And then from there, that'll be going over into the Sport Karate Museum and being able to go in through the portals. And, you know, you'll have Joe Lewis there. You'll have Professor Gary Lee never says it, but you'll have Professor Gary Lee there. You know, Karen Slasher will be there. Mike Stone will be there. You know, everybody is going to be – Chuck Norris will be there, Bob Wall. Everybody will have their portal. You'll be asking questions to enhance your knowledge, to see how much knowledge you got, and then they'll go back and you just learn more knowledge. And then, you know, you have all this stuff that is going on. So when people hear of what Professor Gary Lee's doing with the Sport Karate Museum, they need to understand that he is doing something that has innovated this. You know, Joe Lewis used to say innovate, not imitate, and that is what Professor Gary Lee has done. He has innovated this and brought things in and using Set VR and all this stuff and just taking what we do and just making it eternal to where what – I don't think it's what we don't understand right now as martial artists is at some point in time, other martial artists will be looking back and be maybe wanting to look at the history. We don't know how things will work out through time. Martial arts may even be banned, and the only way you can look at it or see it is just to go through and look at it in some kind of archive. And just imagine there we'll all be in Professor Gary Lee's dream that he had, and they'll be able to study this and, you know, look at it because, like I say, now the cars can drive themselves. I mean, just think about where people are going now with the virtual reality and things like that. People may not even be moving much, you know, in the next 20 years. I may just be everything's just, you know, in the outer space or the virtual world. And AJ, you got a chance to use the VR headset in South Carolina, didn't you?
It's awesome. It's, you know, the kids didn't want to take it off, number one. I had to fight a kid to get it off. No, I'm only kidding. But the kids had a ball with it. And when I tried it, it's just amazing how graphic it is. And it's impossible not to respond to the stimulus that you see in the screen. I mean, it's incredible.
Right.
And it's almost like habit forming where you don't want to take it off. And it's not only a great workout, but it really, how should I put it, makes you react to the stimulus. So it's just
right. Build your action.
It makes you react. It's just an incredible not only workout but training tool.
I know that Dr. Lee always says, you know, they're going to have a yoga instructor there and stuff like that. I need a massage therapist. I need them to get to where they can put a massage therapist in there or something. That's what I'm waiting for, so I can just put that out of a massage therapist come in or something like that. And
what the next thing would be really cool is if they had interactive weaponry where you respond to
weapon. You know
the
what
weapon.
They should do? Dr. Lee may want to think of this. We could get like the TENS unit pad and place them all over your body so that when you receive a hit or do something wrong, you feel that sting. Just so you know, it'd give you more of a oh man. I got lumped up in that competition. I know that that Dr. Lee always talks about people can, you know, fight each other. You can have different people go in and fight with their systems and different things. But, you know, it's really going to be a good thing. But all of that stems out of the Sport Karate Museum and all the stuff and all the people that Professor Gary Lee has put together. And it's just such an awesome thing that he has put all these people together and brought in all these people. And we have Mr. Bowen and all these people to keep history going. And now we got books and we got virtual, virtual reality. Heck, who knows, by the time it's over with, they may be able to download us into a robotic body, and we can just keep on doing what we're doing. So this show could be going forever, and we could maybe even just be robots or something. You never know. I mean, you could just be downloaded, and we could just be downloaded into the portals, and there we live out the rest of the time. Does anyone else, right quick, have anything to say about payments or what people get? I'm taking the silence as a no. Well, it is, as always, ladies and gentlemen, a amazing, amazing time listening to each and every one of you. Yes.
You know, one thing about tuition, and this drives me crazy, where sometimes martial artists feel guilty for charging tuition, and they shouldn't. They've worked a long time to develop their art and to develop their skills. They have a talent, hopefully, and they want to spread it. You shouldn't feel guilty about that. And there's not a doctor around that'll feel guilty about seeing a patient and charging them. And martial artists shouldn't have any different attitude about that.
Yeah, and you know what? Like you're saying, AJ, people don't realize that until they need martial arts, or until it's changed their life, or they've had to defend themselves with it, or give them confidence, or help them through a crisis in their life, or help them gain strength and flexibility, something they need, change their life in some dramatic way, people don't take it serious and don't put a price tag on it in that manner. But once you have used your martial arts in any way, whether it be life-changing, whether it be self-defense, whether it be protecting your country, protecting a loved one, anything, overcoming a physical disability, like my buddy Killer Kelly, I mentioned Patrick Kelly, he comes out, man, look at all the stuff that dude does, man. I mean, he just keeps, he uses martial arts to push him forward. That should be an inspiration to people.
Right.
A lot of us are injured and have to go through it. You had hip surgery. I have diabetes. There's a lot of injuries out there that martial arts help, and it helps people to push forward and take their life to that next level. And you can't really put a price on that, yet we do, and yet people will still take it for granted. And eventually, hopefully one day, people will start to understand that it is just as important as anything else, overseas. And they put a price tag on it. It's very important to their lifestyle and system. But it's not so much in America, but it will be, in the future, hopefully it will be. But I just want to, from the bottom of my heart, and I would like to, just have everybody make sure you say a quick prayer for Professor Gary Lee. But like I say, I talked to him today. He was in great spirit. And, I think he's going to be recovering well at home. Hopefully he got to listen to the show. If not, he'll get to tune in later. But each and every one of you, I really want to tell you, because a lot of times, like Professor says, I'm knocking somebody out. Sometimes I can either confirm nor deny. Sometimes that may or may not be the case. But I'm usually doing something consistent of some type of training when we're talking, so that's why sometimes it takes me. But I appreciate you guys putting up with the Wolverine, listening to my ranting, and the 3 minutes with the Wolverine listening to me rant and all the
nice
stuff.
Nice job, Dean.
And I just want to tell you guys, I appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you, Mr. Perry. And, I want to say right quick, AJ is a big part of the movie The Coward, too. So, he does a lot of stuff, too. So he's going right along. And I just, each one of you guys means so much, and you have so much knowledge. And, it just is a great testament to what Professor Gary Lee is doing, to have put this group of people together, this panel, and like Mr. Bowen said, this much knowledge really crammed into 1 hour. I know each person on here could probably talk an hour on each subject, but everybody, you know, gives their time and lets them do it. And, you know, we just want to say, you know, we thank each and every one of you from the bottom of our heart. Our time is up, and Professor always speaks in Hawaiian at the end and says mahalo and aloha. And I will say the Nadahe, which means until we meet again. Ladies and gentlemen, God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America. We will talk to you next Tuesday night. The Nadahe.
Beautiful job, sir.
The Nadahe.
Forget about it.
Thank you, guys, from the bottom of my heart.
You're welcome.